Hey, Rachel.
Welcome to Coffee and Conversations with Rachel.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we are doing a one-off little, there's no like series or anything on you and Peru because you've been leading it for so long. Talk more about how long you've been going, how it all started, and what you love to drink over there when you go over there because you don't like coffee. So what's your go-to?
We'll start there. I don't like coffee. Yeah. It smells wonderful. I like it in chocolate, but I don't like to drink it. But they have a great cinnamon and clove tea that I love. And there's some awesome hot chocolate, of course, with cinnamon. And it's cold when we go in the winter.
That's really nice.
July is winter there.
Okay.
So you always want a good hot drink in the morning.
That sounds really good. Some hot chocolate with some cinnamon.
Yeah. Yes.
To get your day started.
Yes. That's the way we roll.
Yeah, that sounds fun. When do y'all leave for this trip, for the summer trip?
The team will come in on July 2nd.
Okay.
And we come home, they come home about July 9th.
Okay, and how many people are going this year?
I have 60 going, and we've grown from all numbers, but before COVID, we had like 100 people going.
It's amazing.
And then after COVID, we started like slow, about 40, and this year we have up to 60, so... Excited about that.
That is it a mixture of people from Westover and other places? And
it is. We have a pretty even group. There's, I don't know, 20 or so from Westover, about that many from Abilene, Southern Hills and Abilene.
Okay.
And then there's a group from Round Rock going.
Oh,
and Round Rock Church of Christ. And then there's a few just from different churches. So it's a good mix of people and teens and adults. So
that's really fun. So you have been doing the Peru trip for how many years now?
I started in 2006 was my first year.
So it's almost 20 years.
Yeah, almost.
That's exciting.
It's crazy. We didn't go for 2 years in COVID, so we gotta take those away. But it's been almost 20 years.
And how did it all get started?
Well, it wasn't me, but my friend Melina Rampe, who is in charge of Olive Branch Ministries. She's been doing that for a long time, and she had a partner named Scott Zapalek, and he actually made friends in a restaurant with Miguel, who's the owner. He's the director of this orphanage, which it was at the time, and they decided to do a little small little VBS there with a group out of Houston, and so in 2005... they went to this orphanage with about 10 or 15 people from Houston, and there were probably maybe 150 kids there of all ages.
Mm-hmm.
And the next year, I had retired from teaching school, and Melina is a good friend of mine, and she goes, hey, let's go to Peru together. So my oldest son, Jason, and I went for that year and just watched and observed and, of course, fell in love.
Yeah.
And so here we are. Almost 20 years later.
That's really cool. So, that's really neat how God worked in all of that.
Yeah.
And how has the orphanage changed over the years? Because it started out at 150, now it's, you set up to 1,000 almost?
Well, it's a little different. So it started very small. Miguel, tell you a little bit about his story. He had a family. He had a child who was sick and actually died, but he was in the hospital. I think he was 2. So he was there a lot. And there's a lot of street kids in Peru, very impoverished area. And he would walk by every day, and these little kids would be there trying to sell him something. And his child ended up dying, and he just felt God calling him to, you know, minister to these little ones that were on the street by themselves.
Yeah.
And so he took a couple of them home, and they were gone the next morning. And they came back the next night with 2 more. And then it kept happening. And so he ended up with about 3 little kids in his house with his wife and his own kids.
Uh-huh.
And they ended up finding this space on the top of a sand dune near the beach and started an orphanage there. And this has been 30, 40 years ago, probably.
Okay.
And so when I started, there were about 150 kids there. Went through a period where it kept growing and growing. And I remember times when we would come and there would be lines of parents out who could not care for their kids.
Aww.
And they would literally be signing their kids over to Miguel in the orphanage there. Wow. And then they would walk away without their kids. And it was heartbreaking and wonderful to see how God just works through all of it. Mm-hmm. And so they got up to about 800 kids because Miguel couldn't say no. And so that point, that was a little much. They had house parents, but the ratio was all off on house parents and kids. Yeah. So one point, the government kind of shut them down for a while. And it was kind of like putting kids in other orphanages. And it was a really rough time for them and us. We kept going, kept feeling that God was leading us there. And then COVID hit and things all changed again.
Yeah.
And then after COVID, we went in, I think in March, and just said, do you want us to keep coming? Like, this is the break time. You know, do we come? Do we keep doing this? And just felt like God said yes. So we started going back. And it's a little bit before that, Miguel felt very strongly about education for kids and how that was their way to break the cycle of poverty.
Mm.
And so he started getting teachers and having a little school there. And so they had their own school. And then after a while, he started allowing kids from the area around, mm-hmm. the community around, to come in and go to school. And so at this point, there's about 200 to 300 kids that actually live there.
Okay.
And there's house parents. And there's probably 1,100 kids that come in every day for school and go wow. home to the community, which is a very impoverished area. It's, uh-huh. you know, very poor. So that's kind of where we are today. Like, there's 1,400 kids there. So
it's a lot of kids.
It's a lot of kids. It's chaos and beautiful yeah. and organized and all the words.
Oh, wow. So I'm sure the trip has changed over the years. If you were to go on a trip now, what does that look like from, you know, when you land to coming home and what
good
you all
question,
do there?
Yeah. I know lots of people would probably be interested in that.
Yes.
So first of all, I've been working on curriculum for months and materials. So you got to have stuff when you go down there. There's nothing down there. So we get all that ready. There's a fantastic group of ladies here that meet with me every Wednesday for like yeah. 5 months, and they put it all together. And so right now I have about 38 huge bins of materials wow. that I got to get down there. And so that's where it all starts. It starts right here at Westover with a fabulous group of ladies that come in and help.
And I will say, anyone is welcome to come on Wednesdays
absolutely.
At, what is it, 11?
Yeah.
And they're always working.
Today was
working.
Our last day, but yeah, next January,
it'll start again.
We're here. And yeah. it's lots of fun. It's good fellowship. Judy and I bring lunch. So
and Judy's an amazing cook.
I know. So,
and so are you. So
it's pretty good.
Yes.
So then next week or a couple weeks, I will put it all in suitcases.
Okay.
And give it to the team. We get there. Everybody brings a suitcase. We unpack it, get it all ready. The team hits the ground. And the first day, we let the team go out to the community and just kind of walk around. Miguel will usually tell his story, kind of see maybe where they're going to be, meet some kids, just kind of an orientation kind of walk day mm-hmm. and rest because it's tiring to get there.
Yeah.
And then the next day, we start our program. And it's a huge vacation Bible school. Basically.
That's awesome.
It's all day for 4 days.
Wow.
We do I have some fabulous worship leaders that are Peruvian.
Uh-huh.
They come in and all my translators come in and they help and do Bible stories. And it's beautiful and just spirit filled. And I just love it so much. So we start with worship. Then I break all of our team members down uh-huh. into smaller groups, and all the kids are broken into smaller groups. So right now, because of the numbers, we're doing 12-year-olds up to 17 years old. That's
okay.
about the age where they age out to go to college or university uh-huh. or whatever they do. So I break all of those kids down into 12 groups, and then I break my team down into 12 groups.
Okay.
And then, so they take their group of kids and go with their suitcase to a room that I've assigned them, and they spend all day with them, and they have crafts, a lot of STEM projects, a lot of memory verse, Bible story, wow. a lot of reflection time, prayer time, just a full day of activities. Uh-huh. And everything's just given to them in a suitcase. And then we come back to our hotel and get to rest and eat a wonderful Peruvian dinner somewhere in town. And we do that the next day. So we'll do that 2 days in a row. And then we take a day in the middle and we do a huge soccer game. We go back.
Aww.
And so we have Peruvian American soccer game. It's huge. It's big. Uh-huh. We have flags, the whole thing, uniforms. It's a big deal.
That's so really sweet.
It's a lot of fun just to play.
Yeah.
And so we do that and then we'll go back. We usually go out there to church on Sunday.
Okay.
Just to kind of to support them. There's also a church about a block away from the community where Alejandro is a preacher that Southern Hills supports. Uh-huh. And there's a church there that he's ministering to the community.
Oh, that's really
so there's two churches right there. The kids, and then he can minister to the community, which is really sweet.
Yeah.
So we do that, and then we go back for two more days and do two more days of VBS. Okay. And then teams fly home when they want to, but that night or the next day. So it's long days. It's hard days. They're filled with joy and laughter and
yeah.
beautiful people and amazing kids.
That's really so sweet. Yeah. What age can you come on, Peru? Like, what's the youngest
we
do you think is?
We usually try to say 13-ish with a parent.
Okay, I could see that.
Just because the days are long, tiring.
Yeah.
Just the interaction with kids. And since we're only doing teenagers basically now, that kind yeah. of helps that. But then, you know, just the maturity to be able to handle the poverty and the things that are going on and the language barrier. Mm-hmm. Even though we have amazing Christian translators, you know, there's still a barrier. You can still play, have fun, but that's yeah. kind of our cutoff.
Are the translators from Peru or is mm-hmm. it? Okay, I didn't
They're
know if y'all
Peruvian,
brought those in too.
And we, through the years, it's been different ones, but the last few years, God has just opened up some amazing doors through a local church. And so we got a lot of Christian translators who are willing to share their own stories.
Uh-huh.
And so they're more part of our team. You know,
that's awesome. So I'm sure you keep up with them probably throughout
yeah.
the year
and
stuff.
They yeah. just want to keep coming back because they love it so much. So,
oh, that's yeah. really sweet.
Yeah.
So who comes up with the curriculum? Do you come up with all of it?
I do.
Oh, Cindy, that's a lot.
Actually, God
that's
gives
amazing.
It to me because I cannot do it by
yeah.
myself. I do not know what I'm doing half the time. And I'm like, okay, God, I have to have this. But yeah, so every year it's different, and it's really just where God has led me to
yeah.
what it is. This year, it's I'm a child of God, and it's all about our identity and who we are in Christ and what that looks like. And we have the opportunity this year to teach the teachers that are teachers at the
and
school.
This is new.
This is
yeah.
new. So we're going to be doing the same thing with them and just, you know, just kind of figuring out where we are in our faith journey and what that looks like and just helping them understand that they're loved by God no matter what. So
that's really yeah. sweet. When y'all come in, do the teachers kind of get a break for 4 days or do they help with VBS or what does that look like?
It's been different through the years. A while ago, I don't know, maybe 6, 7, 8 years ago, Catherine Helm would go with us
uh-huh.
and she was fabulous. She would teach the teachers how to teach. She's a good,
really
just
uh-huh.
fabulous at that. And then she just got to a place where she didn't feel like she could go anymore. And then, so we hadn't had anything. And the teachers, you know, do you give them a break? Do you ask them to come in with you?
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of, I wasn't sure what to do and how to handle that. So Miguel and I had a really good conversation in March and he just felt like he wanted them to learn about God too. So we're all doing the same thing. So,
oh, that's cool.
It'll be beautiful. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah. It's really neat to think about how God led you to this.
Oh.
Like you went to college for teaching and then you did teaching and then retired and now
yeah.
you're teaching teachers how to teach. Like it's really beautiful.
Yeah. And to, none of it was planned.
Yeah.
That's a cool thing. I feel like you just...
Listening God to God.
Just says you need to do that, and you just have to say, okay. And I, none of it I said I wanted to do. And even in March, I was like, I think I'm kind of tired. And I felt like God just said, no, not yet.
You're not done yet.
So here we are.
Yeah.
Starting a new one.
How do you feel when you were called to that? Were you just like praying about it and it just kept coming up? Or how did you feel like, okay, I need to step into this Peru ministry?
Well, I think in the beginning, it was small and easy.
Yeah,
and
it was just a fun trip, kind of.
It was a fun trip. We loved the kids. It was wonderful. You know, you can pull off a VBS for 100, 200 kids fairly easily. You know, it's not like here with Adam and what's going on here. It's, you know, you're taking what you need, you take.
I think we expect more here, too.
Right.
No, as opposed to, like, Peru, they're just happy to have people around to love on them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you have the materials and things, but really, and I tell the team this every year, that it's not about actually even the lessons. It's not about the things that we bring.
Uh-huh.
It's about building a relationship and just letting these kids know how loved they are and how much God loves them. And really, that's really what it's all about.
Yeah.
So, and building a community there. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like a big deal in the beginning. It was pretty easy and it just felt right to help.
Yeah.
And this is what I can do to help. And then, you know, people dropped off and then it was like, okay, here it is.
And then it turned into this huge thing.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
So it's just slowly building. But.
And I liked what you said earlier. I don't know if we said this or not, but lots of those kids come in just for the day. So then they're going back to families and like his word is spread even more into those families that may have never heard it.
Right.
Which I think is really neat that I didn't know happened there.
Yeah. It's really sweet because all those kids are coming in and hearing it. And they do have a religion teacher there. And the last 2 years they've had a lady named Erica. She's from the States, but she married a Peruvian and she is wonderful with them. And there, the other day she sent us a picture and it was just made my heart sing. The girls had gone to breakfast. The girls that lived there had gone to breakfast. And their house mother had said, hey, you guys take something to read while you're sitting there. And they had a piece of fruit and a drink just while you're sitting there. And this was not planned. But one of the guys that works there, he walked in and 95% of them had a Bible with them.
Aww.
And they were all reading their Bible and just sitting there drinking their tea and eating fruit. It was just sweet. And it just reminds me how far we have come in 20 years.
And sure, those are the moments, too, that you're like, okay, this is why I keep going back.
So you feel like you're just putting seeds out there and just, you know, God's there to water them and make them grow and see. And I think that's, you just have to remember, you don't have to see the fruit of it. You don't have to see the end result.
Yeah.
You just have to be there to plant the seed and to love on kids. And if you're lucky enough to get to go over 20 years, you get to see that.
Yeah, that's
really neat. You know, and there's kids that grew up there that are still working there and giving back. And that's amazing, too. And there's kids in colleges and they're doctors and lawyers. And I mean, you know, and working in the grocery store. So, you know, they're going out into the world after they leave. But
they broke the cycle. Like broke the poverty cycle and they know about Jesus now, which is really cool.
That's a sweet, fun trip.
Yeah. What has been, do you have like a favorite memory or anything from all of your years? Or a couple. Yeah.
So many. I think one of my favorite things is that when I first went the first year, my son and I went, he was out of college and we went and there was a young man there who was, I don't know how old he was at the point, 16 maybe, but he had grown up there and his name's Jorge. And he just kind of clicked with Jason and I and just, we became friends. And so all through these years, we're friends.
Aww.
And he calls me mom, I call him son, and he actually is there and he has been for several years. He teaches English at the school. So he grew up there, did some things, went to, you know, got some degrees and worked, but he came back and he's got a family. And I love that part that I get to go back and see people that I love.
Yeah.
You know, and not just him, there's so many of them, but just to keep in touch with. And the translators, I think you just become such good friends with them.
Uh-huh.
So.
And I'm sure you talk to them a lot throughout the year, yeah. which is like curriculum and what's happening. Yeah.
And I love the worship time and just watching kids and how people respond and play time and watching my team come in and new people come in and just be amazed and fall in love with the kids and them, you know.
Yeah.
They're not like, you know, they're different, but they're happy and they feel content, loved while
probably.
We're there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a good experience.
Well, Cindy, thank you so much for stopping in and sharing
sure.
about it.
Sure. Happy to. Good Thanks. To see you.
You too.